Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3, we got to keep things simple. The gospel is simple. The Bible is simple. Jesus made it simple. People complicate it. Paul said in verse 3, he said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Jesus made this thing easy for us. Look over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. There's an old saying. You remember that monkey blood they used to, you know, when kids would play on the playground and you'd crash and burn and you'd skin your elbow or your knee or something, and you'd go up there to the front door and teacher would come out there and rub some monkey blood on you, and it'd sting horribly and smell weird. Well, obviously, if the medicine stings, it must be working. It's doing something. People take that into Christianity. They said, if it's not hard, if I'm not earning it, if it's not making me work, it can't be working. You know, when Jesus died on that cross and God raised him back to life and seated him at the right hand, seated him, he sat down. He stopped working because he did a complete work. There's nothing that you can earn. You can only receive it. But people keep this old adage. They said, "I don't want nothing I don't work for. I don't want nothing I didn't earn." Honestly, what are you going to do? What are you going to do that could possibly be worth more than the shed blood of Jesus? You can't do anything that's worth more than the shed blood of Jesus. And if you want to please God's heart, then receive from him. Right here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also." In other words, when you realize your position in Christ, you realize that Jesus did it all for you on that cross. You're acknowledging him. But if you decide you're going to go figure it out on your own, and you're going to go make it happen on your own, you're going to do it on your own, and you decide that there's something that you have to do in order to be good enough to be in God's presence, you know what you just did? You've denied the work that Jesus did on that cross for you. Basically, you said, "It's not good enough for me. I can do better." People don't ever look at it that way, but it's pride. It's pride. Jesus did everything that we couldn't do. Amen? Now, go down to chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." When you realize the love that God has for you, when you realize the gospel, the full gospel, people are always telling me they believe in the full gospel. And I said, "Okay, then have faith for this next situation." And they said, "No, God doesn't owe us that." And I said, "I know he doesn't owe you anything." They said, "Well, we're going to go to heaven regardless what happens." "I know you're going to go to heaven, but you just told me you believe the full gospel of God. Believe him for the next thing on this earth." "Well, he doesn't owe us that." I didn't say he owed you that. I said he freely gave it to you. See, salvation hasn't been preached. Born again has been preached, but not salvation. In order to preach salvation, you have to preach the full gospel. That means everything in life that you need is met at that cross. Absolutely everything. Everything. People don't like to hear that, but that's the way it is. And then you're not talented enough to outdo what Jesus did on the cross. Now, the gospel of grace is simple. Works is hard, and it's hard. Can you get that? The gospel of grace is simple. I was telling a friend of mine one time, I said, look, Jesus got on the cross. He took everything that you did wrong on himself, and he took everything that he did right and put it to your account. He said, well, that's not fair. I said, that's grace. I know it's not fair, but we weren't going to get out of this mess on our own. God gave us the law, and people failed at that miserably for thousands of years till Jesus could get down here and replace that with the new covenant. Now look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus himself said this. This is in red. He said, come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus was talking to people that were under the law. They were trying to perform what it took according to God's law to be in right standing with God. And it was hard. And the religious leaders of their day added more to it than what God had already put on there and made it even more burdensome. And they're still doing it today. The preachers are supposed to be getting people set free. And set free from the law is one of the most important things a person can be set free from. So you can stand in the liberty of Christ. Now the key here, Jesus gave us the key. He said, come unto me and learn of me. The more you learn of Jesus, he said, you learn of me. You learn about Jesus, not about the law. There are a lot of people who go back into the Old Testament looking for something to do. They'll find it. There's a lot of things to do in the Old Testament. You'll find it, and you won't like it because you'll fail. I promise you. Go to Jesus and learn of him. Don't just learn about him, but learn him. Learn who he is. What he's done for you, and you find out these new creation realities in there. We talk about them all the time. Find out who you are in him, who he is in you, what you have in the family. The more you learn of him, the more of him is going to happen to you. That's more of the blessing that's going to happen to you. The blessing is not just money. The blessing is peace. The blessing is wholeness. When a Jew says shalom to you, receive that. What he's saying to you, he's saying shalom, like Jesus said, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything in you being made right. The blessing flowing through you. All these good things. Soundness. Peace of mind. Not just peace like the hippies did. that shalom, that full Zoe life of God hitting you. Shalom. But we got to learn of Him. When we learn of Jesus, we get a revelation of His grace. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, one of the things that you'll notice, if you'll read through the Gospels and see how Jesus dealt with everyday people. He run into a leper, and the leper would say, "If you will, you can heal me." And he said, "I will." And he'd touch him. The Pharisees, the people were forbidden to touch a leper. The lepers were forbidden to come in the general public. They had to stay away. But Jesus said, "Oh," and he not only said, "I will," but he touched him. See, this man was in a dehumanized condition. I read a story about these trails, and this guy was walking down this trail, and he noticed that there was rocks that people could get under these rocks by the trail. And according to this thing that I read, that this leper was hiding under one of these rocks, not to be seen in general public. And Jesus got down there, he came out from under his rock and said, "Jesus." And it was grace that reached out there and handled that man, and he got healed. A woman with the issue of blood. By the law, the religious mafia had her, and they threw her down at Jesus' feet. And they said, according to the law, this woman that was caught in adultery should be stoned. That was according to the law. And Jesus wrote something in the sand. I don't know what he wrote. But when it was all said and done with, everybody dropped their rocks. And Jesus said, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." That's grace. Now, if it would have been according to the law, he'd have said, "Go and sin no more, and I won't condemn you." See, then it's on you. You see how the roles get changed sometimes. If it ever points to your efforts, stop and back up. It's always got to point to what Jesus did on the cross for you, and you receiving it. That's the gospel. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." There are people sitting in churches all over the world that just cannot grasp the reality of the gospel, the simplicity of the cross. They always got to add a little bit to it. There's always got to be this other thing that you got to do to be good enough for God. Only the blood of Jesus can make you good enough for God. And you have to be simple enough to just sit down and receive it by faith. You have to first learn how to sit by faith before you can walk by faith. That means you're going to have to find out what Jesus did to you when you got born again. Now look at verse 4 right there. It says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge." Jesus did it. It's Him again. He does the doing. We do the receiving. The cross is simple. Religion makes it hard. Jesus made it simple. We just got to keep it simple. If it gets confusing, if it gets treacherous, if it gets a hard burden, stop. That's not the gospel, and that's not Jesus. You get that? Now look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Theologians come out with some pretty fancy words. Sometimes Glenn Smith used to call it, what did he call that? They go to these schools to teach, to learn all this ministry stuff. And he said, that's the end. That's just the end of them, basically. So when they get all that knowledge and they come out of there, they're so confused. Yeah, he called it cemetery. He called it cemetery. Instead of seminary, he called it cemetery. But they get all these ideas and they know about Jesus and they know about God, but they didn't take time to know Jesus. I was witnessing to a whole bunch of Muslims one time. And I ran into one and I started witnessing to him and talking to him, and he started talking to me about the Bible. And he was saying some stuff that he knew in the Bible. And I said, where did you hang out? And he said, I wasn't always a Muslim. I said, what happened? He said, well, I went to 15 years of seminary. And then I sat under a real high-profile preacher on the East Coast. And he ended up being a Muslim. This is a guy that knew about Jesus. He didn't know Jesus. See how that happens? See, the Jews, when they grew up, they'd have to memorize the first five books of the law. They have to memorize the first five books of the Bible. They'd know about God, but they didn't take time to know God. So you can memorize and memorize and memorize and memorize, but you got to stop and just take time to know Jesus. Take time to learn of Him. Know of His ways. The main thing is keeping it simple. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is the law. That is interesting that he called it bondage. And you're not free when you're in bondage. He said to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. See, there is a law of liberty. You know, there's three laws that we are told to maintain. Did you know that? The law of faith, the law of love, and the law of liberty. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? But the law of liberty, the only way you can maintain liberty is to not be entangled with the law. When people start picking up the law and they say, I've got to do this in order to be good enough to receive this. I've got to do this in order to be good enough to qualify for God's blessing in this area. And I've got to do this. And they call it balance. They're big on saying that you're saved by grace. But then here's these 10 things you got to do. Or here's these 7 things you got to do. And just keep it in balance. See, God calls that mixture, and it won't do. He talked to a church in the book of Revelations about that. He called them lukewarm. Amen? And it just won't do. Now we'll go to chapter 2, verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? What was going on? Peter was telling the Gentiles, say, look, here's these things that you got to do. Saved by grace isn't good enough. You got to do this in order to qualify. And Paul stood up to him and said, no, no, we're not having none of that. You're wrong. You are saved by grace. Salvation is by grace, by the shed blood of Jesus only. Now go to chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says that you get made a new creature in Christ. See, that's what matters. Circumcision was a work of the law. That was a sign of the old covenant. That was a mark of the old covenant. And people thought, man, we're in the family, now we got to go get circumcised. Paul said, knock that off. Quit it. You know, how many traditions Christians have actually carried through from the old covenant, and they keep honoring these traditions for centuries and centuries and centuries. Have you ever wondered about that? I know people are still, Christians are still circumcising their babies. That's not the circumcision he's looking for. The circumcision he's looking for is the one of the heart. When you get your heart circumcised, that's an inward circumcision, not an outward one. So, look up here to verse 13. It says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. You know, I don't know how many people I ran into. I like to witness to people, and I run into a lot of Christians that are running wild out there in the world. You know, people that were born again, people that were raised in church. I ran into people out there, and I started talking to them, and they'd say, nah, man, I'm born again. I said, why don't you go to church? They said, I'm not going in there again. I'm done. Why? He said, I can't do what that preacher says, and neither can he. What was going on? He got saved by grace, and then these preachers put pressure on these people. They preach sin to people. They say, you don't do this, and you don't do that, and you don't go there, and you don't go here, and you don't do this. And if you do this, boy, it's bad. Guess what happens? People end up doing that, and then they get frustrated with God. They get frustrated with church, and they leave. And some of them won't darken the doorway again. That's not liberty. They never did get taught the grace of God and the liberty of Christ. See, when people find out what Jesus really did, then they get relief when they go to church. See, you should feel relieved when you get to. I couldn't wait to get to church. You know, my pastor was preaching this stuff to me, this gospel, and it was like I was getting fed, my spirit was excited, and I'd see other people, they were getting freed up. They were getting the bonds of the law broken off of them. They were walking in liberty. What was going on? They were getting the gospel preached, and it was simple. Amen? If it's not simple, people will get frustrated. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. He was sending grace your way. Now go down to verse 6. It says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. I'm not interested in none of that curse business. I'm going to preach the gospel. And if I have to read it word for word to you sometimes, which I do, that's the way it's going to be. But you're not going to hear any other gospel than what Paul wrote down in this Bible for us. Why? Because that's the only gospel that will set people free. Now go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, and we'll stop with this one. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The only way to the blessing is through Christ. And the only way to receive these blessings is by grace. Go down to verse 29 and you'll see what you fell heir to. It said, if you are Christ, and you are Christ, if you get born again, you belong to him. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You become heirs to everything that Abraham had. What did Abraham have? He had absolutely everything. Melchizedek said, blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. That pretty much covers it, don't it? Pretty much covers everything. But Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So that's what we're going to have to do, is believe God, take him at his word, and walk in that liberty. Amen? You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn your blessing. Thank you, Father, for everything that Jesus did for us. Thank you for everything that Jesus is doing for us right now. Father, we thank you that you're looking out for us. Father, we thank you that you're not going to allow evil to reign. Father, that your glory and your grace will shine brighter than ever before. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.